This is another update Nerd Style with your host, Owen Kinnair, bringing you another episode of Knights of the Pound Table as we continue our month of horrible horror. Before I get started, I want to give a thanks to our group over at comicbookintl.com, especially Benjamin David and his team over at Above and Batman Beyond, along with him and Eli, as well as the DC Collecticast, keeping things going. If you want to check out all their podcasts, you can find them on Anchor or iTunes or anywhere great podcasts are found. And without any further ado, let's get to it. Welcome back. It's been another week of time, so we have been busy getting this ready. We've done a little bit extra. We got something extra surprise.
Yeah.
Little double feature day.
Bam.
Two for one. You'll get for free.
Come get it. Get it while it's hot.
Yeah. And it is hot because we got some Joker review coming up at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned for that if you want to hear our thoughts on it.
Hell yeah.
Before we get started with our month of horrible horror, I got a little surprise for that because I'm pulling out my ace in the hole.
'Tis the season, and man, what an ace it was.
Yeah, I was... Holding that in the pocket, yeah. Like a stink bomb. But before we get started, we'll get a little bit into our gaming. Fortnite has revamped. They've done the whole black hole event that actually...
Yeah, that was kind of freaking people out, but caught a lot of attention. I guess it was like a media stunt, basically, just like an attention grab.
Well, and this is crazy because this is an attention grab over a patch.
Yeah.
Like... Instead of, they just made an event out of updating the game normally, like, which is smart.
Smart marketing, yeah, can't be mad at them.
You get, it's an excuse for being down, so people aren't freaking out because it's like a game. Yeah. Now it's a game. And they even had like a little arcade game if you went to the site or whatever.
Yeah.
While it was updating. And then, boom, it's like this big event where it releases and you got like all this new stuff. I think there's like a new map with some old stuff, a lot of new stuff added.
Yeah, people are excited for it.
So I'm even like curious now, like might take a peek.
Yeah, I mean, it's free. Might couldn't take a little peek. Why not?
Couldn't hurt, says the man who hasn't tried Smack for the first time. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I haven't couldn't played that in a long one. Time.
But, yeah, other than that, we've been enjoying Dauntless with the new weapon, the Aether Strikers. It's almost too easy.
Fisticuffs. Yeah, they're fun, though.
Yeah, they are.
Gives a whole new feel to the game.
It's a real fast pace.
I mean, because we came from heavy weapons where it was more slow and daunting.
Oh, yeah. But now I feel untouchable.
Yeah, fast in there, doing combos, you can evade quicker.
Like. As you saw when I was fighting the one boss, I got real good with the R1 teleport, where you can, like, get to their side. So when you see them winding up, now it's like, you can dodge when you want to now. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like a cancel, too. You can, like, cancel out of the attack with it, so it's like...
Yeah.
You're never in trouble.
Yeah, we like barely need to with these attacks. Like the heavy attacks were so slow where we always got caught and you'd get hit. You couldn't really cancel out of a lot of them. But...
I know. I'm either playing this game thinking, like, what are they going to do to buff every other weapon to get on par?
Yeah.
Or I'm playing with that cringe in my back where it's like, when's the nerf coming? Like, when's the nerf hammer going to hit me?
I'm going to ride this wave until they do.
Yeah, but you might as well cheese it while you can.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I've been going extra hard on River City Girls. I was trying to savor it. So a little piece here, a little piece there.
Yeah, do like one boss at a time.
Yeah, I really wanted to like... Because you don't get a lot of these games. So it's like I want to enjoy it. And I know it's a brawler, so it's going to be short.
Yeah, I know you're spending some time just like grinding out money to open up the items in different shops to see what their buffs do.
Yeah, I was trying to map it all out myself.
Yeah.
Just trying to
figure it out. Which paid off. I mean... And you consequently did something you didn't really quite expect, and it's fucking awesome. I'm happy you did it.
Oh, yeah, that is crazy. We still haven't done everything in the game, so we're hopefully going to get that done. There's a couple secret bosses that I'm digging and looking, because now that I've beaten the game, it's like, all right, did I fuck up?
You can peruse a little bit, yeah.
Because River City Ransom always had like little hidden spots. There was actually a couple hidden bosses there that you could fight that were like some really serious matches in the game.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff is, I think, appreciated by the players. Like, not a lot of games do that these days, but it's fucking awesome to see.
You know,
I appreciate them doing
there's,
that.
There's something about every River City sequel that's come out that when you get it, it's just oozing with, like, fandom and, like, little secrets. Like, River City Ransom Underground was the same way.
Oh, what a great game.
It's still not better than River City Underground, unfortunately. Like, you know, shout out to the people that made it, that made River City Girls. It's an amazing game.
Fuck yeah.
If you're not fully into it, I can understand the $30 mark making you go, eh. But if it ever goes on sale, definitely pick it up. But if you're a fan of Brawlers and that old school, just that old school feeling of just, like, mashing the buttons and just getting through.
Yeah, but even with the $30 mark, like, I don't feel like it's
the production not value worth makes it worth it.
It's well worth it, especially with the secret we found when you beat the game.
Yeah, we beat the game. We went straight hard mode. I just, you know, I'm not a baby here. This ain't my first trek through the city.
Yeah.
So I went hard, both literally and physically. And basically, we unlocked Ricky and Cuneo, the actual original characters of River City Ransom, and they actually have a really nice design in the game.
Yeah, really nice feel. Nice moves.
Yeah, we've gotten a little bit in. We've dipped our toes about 5 levels worth.
Yeah, so we have a lot more, obviously, to learn about them and unlock and see their different moves.
Well, really, it's just that they're specialty moves now, because we've gotten, like, the combo set that we're going to have. And then it's just, it actually caps out on moves you learn pretty quick. And then but there's such a price point that it's like, if you're dying a lot, you're not going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, because dying takes your money.
But after a certain money level, you're just supposed to, like, in the game, I just kept myself stocked after a certain money level. I was like, I'm just going to make sure I have all the health that I don't lose a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So you kind of just suffice that with that. You're like, well, I would spend this much if I died. So
it's worth it. It's an insurance.
I'm going to spend this much so I stay alive.
Like, yeah, it's basically an insurance policy. It's worth it, you know?
Pretty much. And so the game got really fun by the end. There were some really imaginative boss fights. I'll have to give my hat off to this one because every boss was different. Every boss needed a different mechanic. But it was something almost like Mega Man that you kind of had to, like, pick it up. It wasn't, you weren't handheld to figure it out.
No.
You had to, like, guess and test. Like, one boss is just about counter-striking. One boss is about, like, hitting and moving. One boss will be more about dodging and waiting for the right moment.
So y'all take a slightly different approach, different tactic to, like, really
to get to the end.
To really get to them, yeah.
And then the final boss is, like, throwing that all together at once while dealing with, like, a bunch of, like, tiny enemies coming in. And these, like, the final enemies you encounter are actually, like, sub-bosses on their own with how annoying they can be.
Yeah.
They just constantly throw Hadoukens everywhere. And you're just fuck.
It's like, come on.
I actually died in there, and I was, like, really upset because I hadn't died for, like, a good majority after I beat this one boss. Like, I was, like, I have it. Like, I had everything. I bought everything I needed move-wise, and that, like, capped out before I even hit the second dojo.
Yeah, because damage adds up quickly in this game. It's not very forgiving in that regard.
Ooh, especially if they're layered right. If the enemies are layered together and both hit you at the same time, it's fucking devastating.
Yeah.
But I also kind of enjoy that, where it's, like, you gotta really watch out.
Yeah, you
gotta
be careful. You gotta pay attention. I mean,
I don't parry nearly enough. I more just run away.
High consequence, you know? Gotta really be on your shit.
Oh, definitely. It keeps your attention, you know? It does require tight gameplay within the move sets, but it's, you know, you're working with limited stuff, so you have to make it work. But I'm definitely glad that it includes a new game plus that's just, like, a small touch that's, like, please play more. Like,
yeah, just awesome.
So I definitely enjoyed going through that whole thing and probably will be doing so again.
Oh, definitely. Now that we got these characters too, like, we kind of suspected that these characters were going to be coming or available.
I thought it was
going
to be DLC. To get them for free is even just better.
Yeah, so we were completely surprised when you beat the game unknowingly and then unlocked these characters. Like, fuck yeah, here we go.
It was a total happy moment.
Now we get to replay this shit. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the game. It's just reskinning and movesets, which is just enough attention, but I wouldn't have minded, like, if you were going to do it, maybe, like, subtly alter some stuff.
Yeah, some dialogue. The dialogue would have been the same as if the girls were there.
I could see that being a little more difficult. But, I mean, that Undertale touch would have been nice.
Would have been nice, yeah. It's not bad. It's fine how it is. It's just a little weird, like, because you still got all the same items. They're all girl-based items, like makeup and bras and, like, lipstick. And
yeah, I've been nitpicking. It's just a nitpick.
Yeah.
But apart from that, just been keeping up on a lot of the Goose Game stuff. We've been watching some speed runs of that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. People are getting crazy with it.
I think the right now the record for no glitches is like 11 minutes.
Yeah. And which, Blitzes is like 2 minutes, like 60. Oh, like, my God. Not even,
yeah, it's not many, even like, 3 minutes. It's yeah, like the guy just glitches.
40-something right, seconds, maybe?
Glitches exactly, right to the end.
It's fucking crazy. But it's such a great game. I don't see how I could ever speedrun it because I just have so much fun fucking around.
Yeah, like, you miss out on so much to enjoy about the game.
That's my main intent in the game.
The game is to, geese don't have to rush, all right?
They're in no hurry unless winter's coming.
Yeah, we're in no hurry unless there's someone chasing us with a broom.
Yeah, fucking dogs chasing after us. So what the fuck?
I'm glad. Yeah, that's surprising that town doesn't have a dog. They must like that goose to a degree.
They
yeah,
have to.
Because that thing would die. That thing would have been killed anywhere else. It would have been funny to have a geese police.
Yeah.
That would have been a great little add-on. Like, if you raise too much heck.
Yeah. Because that's the thing nowadays. That's the thing around here.
Little there's, GTA?
Yeah. That might come down the road.
Yeah, I could...
Who knows where this is going?
I really hope they do some DLC.
This was just a dip of the toe. Like, who knows where this is going to go?
Oh, if they do another...
They tested the market, and the market said, fuck yeah.
The market said, yes, give me Goose.
Yeah, so it's coming. Like, trust me.
Yeah, they could be DLC. They could definitely alley-oop this into being the next Goat Simulator.
Hey, this might crush the shit out of Goat Simulator.
Oh, it's going to crush. It's way better than Goat Simulator.
Already, yeah.
Goat Simulator was more of like a satirical thing.
Yeah.
This is just like... lightning in a bottle. This is just like...
It's actually fun.
It's super... Well, people would argue, you know, it's...
I think it's fun. I have a lot of fun playing it.
Oh, I'm trying to say, like, people think the GOAT game is fun. It actually has, like, a lot of games out.
I'm sure some people enjoy it otherwise, yeah.
It wouldn't be this thing. It's like a pocket thing. But, yeah. I mean, like, the Goose game is, like, a wider spread.
Yeah, much more enjoyable for the larger audience.
It's not so much a satirical look as much as it is just, like, an interesting take.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
So like
Goat Simulator, like Farming Simulator, they're pretty small markets.
Yeah.
They're enjoyed by some, you know, more power to you, do your thing, but not loved by all.
Exactly.
Got a lot of things to spend my time on.
Pretty much. But that was a real fun little romp. I know we've talked about it on previous podcasts, but it's just like you people don't understand if you haven't played it. It's just...
You gotta play it.
It's just, it's the perfect little like
it's
goofy
cheap,
game.
It's cheap, it's quick, just play it, beat it.
Yeah, it's
put
not
that
gonna,
feather in the cap and talk, and you can talk to people about it.
You put that goose feather in the
share
cap.
Share your experience. You'll have your own different experience. Because the same things happen. We all play the same game, but we all like think different things while we're playing it, make different situations in our head, or different characters will develop. So it's fun to play it, make your own experience, and share it.
But yeah, and then as another side note, I have to apologize. I was planning on entering a Dragon Ball FighterZ tournament this month.
Yeah.
But, I ended up calling the establishment where it was supposed to be, and the person, I don't know, I guess the person wasn't in charge of things and told me to call back and that it would be there, because they said they had two, and now they don't have any scheduled through December, so I'm going to keep my eyes on my nose to the grindstone and see if I can find something.
Yeah, I'm interested to join one as well, so we'll keep training on the game, and we'll keep looking
yeah,
for a fucking
tournament.
I mean,
I've already put now like an extra like $20 into the game for no reason, so I'm going to do something with it.
Yeah, I'll join you. I'm down.
But apart from that, there really hasn't been too much else in the gaming front, so that's why we've been supplementing.
Have we talked about the new characters we got?
In
Dragon Ball?
Gogeta, I don't think we talked about it enough yet. No.
No, I don't think we really touched on it much.
Gogeta, I'll get into that easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z?
It.
Yeah,
it's
sure, sure. Yeah, Gogeta is a real nice touch. As the game continues, even everything from like the intro and everything, there's a lot of good little nods to the... We watched the Broly movie before.
Yeah, the animations feel so good. Like,
well, like it even has the touch of like Vegeta blushing because he doesn't like doing the dance. Like,
yeah,
it makes him freak out. It makes him like feel so stupid.
He's really hesitant to do it, like even in the movie and stuff.
So they have that, but the moveset for him, it's like he's glass cannon. It's like holding Akuma.
Yeah.
Because you're going to take damage when you get hit, but as long as you keep the oppression going and have the meter to burn,
yeah,
he is going to decimate everybody. I could see him doing some really interesting stuff in tournaments.
Fuck yeah.
Just because of all the meter you can burn. Like, his level one can extend 3 stages. That's... fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, Bardock was already obnoxious with doing 2. You just gave someone 3. You just gave someone 3.
It's so awesome.
But I get it. You want to make him feel overpowered because it's Gogeta, and you want it to feel weak because he's supposed to only have a half hour of time to make this work.
Yeah, so they really drive that home. Like, he is strong,
thematically,
but he is fucking takes
thematically,
so much
the
damage.
Stats make sense. The move list is beautiful. Like,
yeah.
It looks and feels. The feeling's a little awkward. It's different for the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like that, same as Vegito and stuff, though. It's like they fight, kind of beat to their own drum in the game. Like, everybody has a rhythm, and it's kind of, like, interchangeable.
Yeah.
With them, it's like, no, you're going to be playing jazz. It's like playing, it's like playing Hit. You're going to be playing at a different rhythm.
Yeah. But even Hit, like, is a little bit different because you don't take punishment as easily. Like, these guys, literally, you're having fun, you're doing your combos, next thing you look, and you're, like less than half damage. You're like, what the fuck happened?
I just hit,
like, twice. Why do I have so much damage?
Yeah, it was like a 13-hit combo. Like, what the fuck? I can only imagine. Like, because people online that are good might burn him out.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get him in there safely with the meter. Like, that's gonna be the challenge.
In the right situation with the right long combo in mind. Exactly. You could end him basically like one or two moves.
I'm interested to see what it's going to be like in tournament play with him. Deeply. Yeah. And that's the guy I'm working on.
He's
going
to be there. I'm pretty sure of it. He's that good.
I don't know, man. The S tier is so fucking deadlocked.
But like, somebody's going to make a point of like mastering him.
Everybody has their flavor, but it seems to be Cell. Yeah. For sure. Cell's
incredible.
Cell is apparently...
As much as I hate him as a character, he's incredible.
He's the fucking god. Yeah. Like, he's just going to decimate because his moveset is so insane, so versatile, and so, like, painful at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Everything about him is obnoxious. And he's got reach, he's got... The only thing he's got is a big hitbox. That's the only thing working against him.
Yeah.
And, it's, I mean, and in this game, a big hitbox... Because of the speed and rapidity of everything, isn't a problem.
It's not as big of a problem as other games. Yeah. It's not as hitbox reliant.
Like, Broly got nerfed before he got nerfed. That's what upset me, being a Broly player. Because Broly wasn't on the top. Broly was not S. Broly's strong. Broly's not S.
He shouldn't be.
He's still strong. They just made him slow. That's all they did. They made his walk animation.
Close to S, but not quite S. Like, you know, A.
But it's Broly. He can tear Cell in half. Like...
Oh, he's so strong.
Like, you know, the whole game of the Kanaki. You can't let the power levels dictate because of the story mode. I get it.
Yeah.
That's why Nappa's here.
Oh, yeah, because then there'd definitely be an unfairness, you know, depending upon who you selected.
I know, but I still...
Have, like, Broly versus Krillin.
I just wanted
to exist elsewhere.
I'm still interested in seeing the characters I haven't touched in the time I've been away.
Master Roshi?
I want him in it. That's all I want. But I haven't tried Janemba yet. I gotta get him still. He seems like he's gonna be as obnoxious as Boo. You're gonna see Janemba in tournament play.
I tried him one time during the story, game mode.
How?
I just playing through the game.
You fought against him?
No, I wasn't.
You can't be. We don't own him.
No, I fought against him. Yeah, yeah. I fought against him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fought against Janemba and what's his name?
He's got like those dimension punches, and it's just like fuck you.
Yeah. But another one of the other characters we don't have, I fought against in the same exact match.
Taemin or Videl? Or was it Jiren?
Videl. Oh, no, actually it was Jiren, yeah.
Jiren
and Janemba. I was like, fuck, it was a hard match.
Yeah, they look like they're probably going to be jacked up. So, like, it'd be worth a
beat. I lost that match. They were tough as fuck. I want to get them, though. They look really good.
Definitely, definitely. But with that aside, we'll get to what everybody's here for, I guess.
All right, yeah, we're all at this is the season. We're all at the horrible.
The spooky.
The spooky. The creepy.
And the only thing scary about this film is how bad it is. So I chose Troll 2, which was released, I believe, in 91, they said.
Yeah.
And it still reeks of the 80s.
Oh, yeah, you see a lot of 80s references and styling.
and the
feels
thing
like
is,
the 80s.
The thing is we're going to talk about this film, and then we're going to talk about another documentary about it right after, because I feel like if you're going to talk about this movie, this thing needs to be discussed too.
Yeah, it's not many movies do you look for the documentary after, but
and
you kind of have
sometimes
to.
Is it weird that the documentary about the movie is almost more interesting than the movie itself?
Very entertaining, really interesting to see like how this thing has actually like gathered a cult following, even though it's fucking god awful,
and just the lasting impression it's had on these people's lives.
Yeah.
But
now
this
is like their biggest achievement to some of them.
I know.
Like that one like creepy crazy guy who was like the shop owner in the movie. Like he was like, yeah,
was
this is
actually
the best thing I've ever done in my life. I used to be like depressed.
But he was actually insane.
Yeah, he's a crazy
like
fuck.
He was out of the insane asylum. And they put him around children.
They literally found a crazy guy
and
put
him
in the movie.
And they let him be around children.
And he originally wanted to be a troll. But he actually wound up being like a shopkeeper.
Oh my god!
Well, goblin. There's actually no trolls in Troll.
The only movie to put people's lives in more danger is the movie Roar.
Yeah, which I do want to get into one day now that you've told me about
Yeah, we were there's a movie in the 70s, guys. It was called Roar. It was a movie about a lion attack on people in suburbia, and they actually have all the lion attacks in this movie are fucking real.
Like, they're real.
Real people as really the day is up. Long. And at like, what was it, 90 people got horribly injured?
Yeah, like 70 or 90 people.
During the making of this film, and no lions were hurt?
Severely to, like, critically injured some of them. Like, some had, like, reconstructive facial surgery and shit.
Oh, my God.
Like, just, like, life-altering shit to some of them. You know, some just had minor wounds.
Just keep that in the pocket, people. That's going to be coming out from us. I mean, that's an honest, scary movie.
For real.
That is a real horror film. That is like, Faces of Death.
It's, like, actual horror.
Actual murder.
Insane that actually got made. Like,
dude,
people actually made
who
that.
Who went out there? How bad do you need a check? Like...
Like, I hate to say it, it's fucking white people.
Yeah.
Who else would do that? Nobody would do that.
They got one black guy.
Like, well, we could
They got one.
Yeah. He really needed money, I guess.
Oh, my God.
It's like, who
I don't even
fuck
think
would
he
was.
I think he was from Africa. I feel like, right, I feel like he was a handler.
Some local help they
He might have been a handler. He might have been one of the people that handled those lions.
Yeah, he might have been some local help they just
poorly,
paid.
Though. Poorly. He knew about lions.
I didn't watch it yet, so I don't know if he pays for that decision or not. But still a risky movie to be in.
Definite. But back to Troll 2. We'll give you a little synopsis, and then we're going to tear this movie a new asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Probably along the way as well. But the movie starts with this weird family in suburbia. And everything's all right. Everything's normal. Except for they show you right before they're about to go on a vacation into the rural-ass countryside. Because what family doesn't want to live in the middle of fucking nowhere?
But it already starts off a little weird because it's a weird setup.
Oh, yeah, the kid is seeing his undead grandfather.
Well, just like the vacation part, they're actually the part of the vacation is that they find another family in the country and they swap houses with them.
Yeah, that's even
that
weirder.
That family comes to live in their house and they go to live in their house for like an extended period.
Jerking off in your bed.
Yeah. It's like wife swap, but you take your wife with you.
Yeah, but
weird.
Even weirder is how it starts, actually. It truly starts with the story that is being told to the little boy about the goblins.
Mm.
Now, keep in mind, this is supposed to be Troll 2. Goblins.
Yeah, there ain't one troll
it's
in the whole movie.
One troll in the fucking movie.
Why is the whole movie waiting for the troll and never came?
I mean, I thought he'd be leading the goblins or something.
Yeah.
But it's like this weird, it's wearing like the atypical, most stereotypical, like what is it, like Deutsch, like, it's a grown man in like lederhosen, like a short brown lederhosen.
Yeah.
And a shirt and a very pointy brown hat. And he's like skipping and hopping through the forest. And like all of a sudden goblins are chasing him. And then he runs away from the goblins. And some chick tricks him into drinking some weird green goop.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's green goop and the monsters eat him.
And like when we say goblins, like you might be thinking like, oh, cool. Like I've seen goblins.
No,
they're cool.
Not.
These are horribly looking goblins. Like
they look like
they made a costume out of like Kmart.
Yeah,
shit.
Their heads are like they're wearing potato sacks, basically.
Yeah, and they have these like $5
they got
like
these,
Kmart masks.
They got these janky stick spears that like they don't even look sharp,
they
but
don't
somehow
look
like
they like
puncture everybody.
Yeah, but even when they puncture, it doesn't even do much damage.
It doesn't even go deep. Like
it goes
like an
in
inch
like
deep,
a quarter inch. Like
you can be
stab.
Like, you're just more like ah,
like what the fuck, pissing me off. Just an annoyance, really.
I'm gonna have to patch that up.
God damn it! What'd you do that for?
Ruined my favorite shirt. But yeah, like they never really use them all that much. It's like a last resort for them. Like, apart from that, they're just like, ah, and they're like Ewoks. They're like Ewoks on
men. Yeah, because they're definitely on the shorter side. They're probably all like 4 feet tall.
Yeah,
like,
they all kind of seem like Ewoks that took meth.
Yeah, super
they're
ugly.
They're all tweaking.
Poorly costumed Ewoks with pointy sticks.
Pretty much. And so he hears that story, and it's his grandfather telling his story. It's like a real Princess Bride moment.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, they come in and they're like, what are you doing awake? And guess what? Grandpa's not even there. Grandpa died.
Yeah,
we didn't see.
Come to find out, Grandpa's dead and this kid has actually been...
Like, we don't even know that. They just expect you to be, like, shocked. Like, there's no shock in that scene at all.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, what?
Grandpa's there. Seems like a normal thing.
And then
they open the door and then he's not there.
So it's more just like, oh, okay. Like, he died. That could have been, like, you know... referenced a funeral before that, maybe.
Something, yeah, to show a moment.
This thing, this movie has the problem of, I'll get into that in a bit, but it's like it explains everything wrong in orders.
Yeah.
And elaborates on wrong things.
Yeah, it explains things that you don't really want explanation of, and things you do want explanation of, they just ignore.
Yeah.
Like, no, you think about that.
It's a big middle finger to the audience.
I don't want to, you show me.
So, you come back and they're worried about the kid.
Yeah,
the
so basically...
kid's freaking out about goblins because he thinks they're scratching at the windows.
Yeah, grandpa's been telling him stories and apparently he's just been seeing his dead grandpa, which is like an issue with the family that
and
he's
why
like...
does the mom ask the stepdad about the goblins and he looks all like, ugh.
Yeah, she thinks that maybe it's some family secret, but it's really not, you know.
But he's not even part of the family. He's like the stepfather.
Yeah, I don't
She's
get
the
it.
Mother.
Yeah, the stepfather doesn't like the grandpa.
Yeah, like, how would he know?
Like, yeah.
And also, the mom looks batshit crazy.
Oh, she's
nutty
nuts.
Eyes. Like,
crazy eyes, yo. She's always making big eyes and just looks crazy and cracked
She does
out.
Look like your atypical crazy mom, though. Like,
yeah.
She does have that. Boom. Like,
boom.
But and crazy. That's not her acting. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
She's just that.
That's just
that's
her.
Just, she's not method acting. She's just... doing
that's
she's,
not
she's just living
as they say that's not acting that's casting
yeah
they found the right one for the role
yeah but so they go finally go to this town and this town's like oh yeah before that though the boyfriend sneaks up in the window of the daughter
yeah
the, and, like yo with all of his
teenage,
friends in tow like
girl.
Yo like they're gonna watch him bone or something
yeah
and,
so like what like 14 year olds maybe
yeah.
like maybe 15
and he goes in and like scares the shit out of her.
Yeah, while she's doing, like, some,
like
chest
she's actually,
bench
like,
workout.
Yeah, but she's actually, like, fucking lifting and shit.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually, like, getting swole, like...
But it's something too skimpy for her being underage.
It's
so.
The 80s, yo. Like, this was a little fucked up.
Yeah.
She's a little too scantily clad for, like, that age.
For that age, yeah.
But she, you know, the kid comes in, freaks her out, and then she just, like, socks him in the gut. Like, beats the shit out of him. And the bad dialogue, he's like, you want to turn me into a homo?
Yeah, he's like, saying how he wants to, like, you know,
my
pretty much sleep
cut
with her.
Cut your balls off and eat them.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, she's such a horrible person.
Yeah.
Like, she's such an abusive girlfriend.
And she wants to just constantly rip him away from his friends. She's like, you have to choose either your friends or me.
Yeah.
And he always winds up hanging with his friends and they drag him into something.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
It's a weird little thing that they have going back and forth in the movie.
It makes no sense. It's like someone making up... It's like an alien portraying
what... Oh, that's bad.
It's like an alien portraying what a relationship is.
It's bad because this goes on for most of the movie and then like...
She just beats the shit out of him.
Towards the end of the movie, like... he's like, all right, like, I'll just go with you. And then, like, they're with her family, and she's like, yeah, he's part of the family now because he made one small choice.
He finally gets beaten into submission.
Yeah, like, she socks him multiple times in the movie.
And then when
the
goblins attack her,
she's,
like, totally helpless.
Yeah.
I love that.
She doesn't fight back with the goblins at all, which are smaller than he is.
Yeah. Like, she could lay them out. But basically, they get to the town, and it's super creepy already. And everybody has, like, these weird clover marks or something on their skin.
Yeah, a little, like,
random different
pockmark
spots.
Scars or something.
Sometimes
on
an arm, sometimes on a cheek, sometimes
yeah,
on a neck.
Face or arm, yeah. All over the neck.
And they're just, like, this, like, weird farm town.
Yeah. They
and
talk kind of weird and slow,
weird.
And they stare off into space.
And basically, it just gets so weird from there because then the family's all kind of like polite but rude.
Yeah, the family that they're trading houses with.
They're just being super ominous and not sneaky. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're about as devious as Don Knotts. Like,
right? They might as well just tell them the whole plan.
They might as well have. Like, it's almost like, please eat the food inside. Like,
yeah.
You'd be like, no,
which is all weird green food. Apparently, so all this food that the goblins want you to eat, it has that green and all.
Apparently,
of it.
It's around St. Patrick's Day, so no one's questioning this.
It's green or it's like goblin milk.
Must be in March. It must be March. Even though it looks like summer, it must be March.
Yeah.
Because no one's questioning a goddamn thing.
Everything is green. They're just like, okay.
I don't know, because it's not illicitly stated unless the kid only can see it.
But it's shown in so many scenes where the kid's nowhere near and the person still sees it.
Or is it just showing you the fourth wall?
I mean, if so, that's weird and bad on the director's part. I don't know.
Yeah, it, once again, not explained.
Yeah, just not another explained. Element of weirdness.
We're just
going to
just skate past that.
Yeah, because I would not eat the things these people were handed. Yeah. The sandwich was just a big green slab in the middle.
It looks moldy as fuck, yo. Like, and he's like, mmm, delicious. Mmm,
green. I love green sandwiches.
But, so they get to the house, and there's like, they're starving, I guess, from their trip. And a bunch of food's been left out. Because it looked normal at first, then it looked real green.
Yeah, like, oh, this is country hospitality.
Yeah, and they're all about to sit down, and, like, Grandpa can just pop into mirrors and pops out, and not out, but peers to the little boy and, like, freezes time for once in the movie. It's the only time he does it.
Yeah, because the family's about to eat this dangerous food that they don't know is dangerous.
And he's like, you gotta stop him from eating it, Timmy. I don't know what his name was.
I forget. Something small like Timmy or Billy or something, like a little kid.
And... gotta stop him. And he's like, oh, I don't know how. Like, oh, geez, Rick. Like,
yeah. Oh, geez, Grandpa, what do I do?
And so basically...
do anything you have to.
Yeah, do anything you have to. And it's like, there's... time's frozen. The possibilities are infinite. So what this kid believes the only option...
in his eyes, little kid eyes...
was to take his little dick out.
Little dick.
Well, we didn't get to see that, thank God.
No, we don't want
to
see it.
We didn't have to see that.
And so it would be illegal.
And he pisses all over the food. The next scene, they're just scraping it off, mad as him, mad.
It's like, why would you do that? Such what the fuck is wrong with you?
So, Grandpa let him unfreeze, like, why do you unfreeze it when his grandson was pissing?
Yeah.
Why not after? And they'd be like, oh, it's like, we thought it was tasty, but it's piss covered.
He's like, I can only pause it for so long, Tim.
And
sorry.
He just, yeah, apparently just came to him midstream.
Oh, Grandpa!
And pissed all over the food that we, you know, like off screen.
And some of this food was like in their hands, almost up to their mouth.
Yo, so they peed like, on them.
It has to be some.
It's
splatter.
On their hands, bro.
It has to be some splatter.
It's on their hands. It didn't. He couldn't just like walk around and boop, boop. He couldn't like not like he's watering the plants. You can't cut midstream.
He's not DC like a DC Bullseye character.
Yeah,
like
chow.
Mean aim with his pee. Yeah, he's probably out getting it everywhere. And but how much does he have? It's a whole, like,
you got
table,
the whole table
full of food, plus everybody has food in their hand. It's a lot of things you got to pee on.
It's quite, I mean, like...
a lot of ground to cover.
R. Kelly would be proud.
Yeah. He might hire you.
He's like, real recognize real. But, yeah, so he gets chastised for peeing on the food, and his dad, like, it looks... the scene build up to this... has the whole feeling like this kid's gonna get his ass whooped.
Oh, yeah, and it's like an 80s feel, so that used to happen.
So
back
you're like,
then.
Yo, this is about to happen. My man's about to get the belt.
And it's totally understandable. He did a fucking crazy ass thing. Even his little sister is talking to his mom. Like, the mom's like, don't hit him. And the sister's like, he deserves it.
Yo, that's even weird. Yeah, but I mean, like, whatever.
He does
like,
kind of deserve it. You can't do that shit.
Like, they don't know the context of which.
Yeah.
That's like the only continuity within this movie.
But that's the whole buildup of the scene is that he's dragging him up the stairs, literally carrying him into a room to like
beat his
ass.
He's like,
you
see these names on there? They wrote like little post-it cards with like where they could sleep. He's like, that's hospitality.
Yeah.
You can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest.
And he's like fumbling with his belt, like taking his belt off.
Like the whole thing looks
seemingly
like he's...
taking his belt off while he's doing this.
And the kid's like, what are you going to... and the fucking most, like, weird way to phrase it. What are you going to do to me, daddy? It's like,
yeah,
why? You got to say it that
thing.
Way.
Yeah, don't say that. It's so weird.
And the dad's like, I'm tightening my belt so I don't feel hunger pangs. And the family's going to have to do that, too.
So now we're going to starve because he...
yeah, so they decided fast to, like, teach the kid a lesson. So I guess this buys him time.
Yeah, but also, why does the whole family have to be punished because the kid decided to piss on the food? Maybe the kid should just fast.
Yeah,
everyone else can go fucking eat.
Yeah, well, I don't know why the dad is like. It doesn't make sense why the dad's punishing.
Dad's like family sacrifice time. We're all gonna learn from this.
Yeah,
like what?
And everybody just goes along with it. Like I would have been like, no.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat. But and then you find out that during this time the boyfriend and his buddies have appeared. Now, the boyfriend has lied to his friends and said that there's, like, a bunch of, like, horny chicks out here.
Yeah, he's like, oh, let's go out to this area camping. There's so many chicks. We'll meet them, bang them. He's so weird.
Yeah,
like,
two of them are, like, sharing a bed shirtless, like...
what camping ground have you ever gone to and there's just a line of girls waiting for you? Like, that's not how camping works.
Exactly.
So I don't know how he got his friends to believe him, but that's the lie. He fed
his
fucking friends.
And, like, the second one of their friends walks out, sees a girl running, and chases after her. Apparently, she's real.
Yeah, seemingly real, running for her life, frightened, apparently, from these goblins.
And he runs along with her, but she's already, like, pretty much boned. Because she's already, like,
yeah, she's green. Already had green, whether she ate green or they hit her with some
green. She had some green.
I mean, that seems to be the thing. They try to get you to eat something green, ingest something green, and then you turn into some kind of food source for them.
Yeah, pretty much. This is where you learn
what they're doing. Yeah, you start learning their whole
and scheme. It's like the most elaborate version of it, where she like kind of turns into like, it looks like she's like a lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
It covered in like Ecto Cooler.
Yeah. So like,
just bathed her in high C.
So he starts like running after this girl, which is weird because like he sees a girl running through the woods. It's all right. You want to see if she's okay, but then he literally just chases her down and tackles her.
Yo, he speared her.
Not okay. Just chase a girl down and tackle her.
You're running from something. Tackle.
Are you okay, bitch?
Like she's just like sack. Like girl.
Like if she was okay, she's not now. Like you just made the situation worse.
Cracked three of her ribs.
But somehow she's okay with being tackled. Then she like. Kind of explains her situation to him, that she's being chased.
And they then, seem to hide out in the exact worst place to go.
Yeah.
And then this is where this creep, like this woman, like you wouldn't accept anything this woman handed you.
No.
She looks like the person in like middle school PSAs that would hand kids cigarettes.
Oh my God. Well, before that, even, like, when they had, after tackling this girl in the woods, like, she explained her situation, they talked for a second.
Oh, yeah,
and then the fucking goblins came up. And this kid, like, such a cocky little idiot.
Power of a big dick boner.
For some reason, not realizing they're monsters and not humans, walks over to them like they're a group of kids and, like, hey, kids, leave her alone. I'm the man here. Like, you know, paraphrasing, that's not quite what he said.
He's almost, he's in his scene almost saying how bad these costumes look.
Yeah. Like, you guys are pathetic, get out of here.
Yeah, like, if these are supposed to be actual goblins, wouldn't you, like, wouldn't they, in your mind, look real?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, shit.
And for some reason, he thinks, like, talking to them is gonna work to just, like, scare them off, and then it's like, ah, we're gonna fuck you guys up now, because you're an asshole. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then he gets stabbed, but he, like, this guy, like, Achilles throws his shitty spear.
Yeah.
Right into his chest.
But, like we said, it only goes in shallow.
Yeah, it goes in, light.
Oh, he started. Yeah, only goes in a little bit, he falls down, and then they obviously catch them both. And they bring him to, like, this little house in the woods, almost like a Hansel and Gretel kind of thing, like...
Yeah, it's like a church. Well, they don't bring him, though. No, he gets hit, and then they book it again.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how they end up at the church. So, like, let's hide out in here, and that's where they meet fucking Meth Teeth McGee.
Yeah, they stumble into him. Yeah, it's fucking old, creepy-ass lady in
there. It's a young woman that is dressed up to look like a creepy old bitch of sorts.
Yeah, well, she's really a witch, so we see her, like,
she's a witch. She could be a troll. She turns into a troll.
Well, she actually explains herself to be a druid.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, she's a druid.
I was too busy tearing at a new asshole and being, like, rolling my eyes. My eyes were too busy rolling in the back of my head.
Yeah.
To see that.
Well, that's why she's with all, like, the plants and green and everything with them, but... Yeah, so she's, like, this druid-y witch bitch, and they stumble in there, and, like we said earlier, the girl had already ingested the green shit, so she was pretty much on the way out.
Once you've eaten it, you're pretty much done, but they don't
explain.
Because they keep trying to feed you more, like...
Yeah, well, that's what happens. The old druid witch lady, like... So it's like, oh, I'll help you guys. And, like, brews them up some, like, tea, they think. And it's actually
but it's
this
like
green
smoldering,
drink.
Like, what is it? Like some, like the water in, like, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, like, you see all the fucking steam coming off it, smoldering up.
It's, like, full of dry ice, like.
And the girl takes, like, one small sip of it and instantly starts, like, oh, gagging and, like, holding her stomach and, like, barely wakes it up the stairs and, like, collapses and turns into a puddle of, like, green.
Goopy
shit, and all these, like, goblins come out and start, like scooping it up and eating it.
Well, smeared it on their faces. I mean, these masks are really...
And, didn't look like the boy had drinking any, but he was, like, frozen there. He was like, why can't I move? And he's paralyzed. watching this happen. And then somehow he slowly starts turning into, like, a half-Groot motherfucker. Like.
Yeah, I like how she's like, don't worry about it. And he's like, huh.
Yeah.
It's her problem.
Yeah.
Like, instantly, like, doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
it's just so weird. And then so he's gone, and then the kids don't even really worry too much. They don't go looking too hard.
They don't.
Like, they look as much as like a bunch of drunk dudes looking for their drunk friend. Like,
I actually remember while the other kids, because they're in like this RV type thing, they were in there. And their friend screamed, and they're like,
they heard it.
They're like, somehow. What was that noise? And like, oh, it sounded like Johnny screaming. And like, ah, fuck them. They'll be all right.
It's like, yeah, they made a joke like he was getting fucked in the butt.
Yeah, like he was getting raped. And like, they just totally like, ignored it and let him disappear, and they never really looked for him again. Like, it was so fucked up and weird. Like, how did you let that happen?
They didn't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
And there's, like, they try to make some subplot out of that dude, and it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't, like, he doesn't look like anything they transfer into.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't, I don't know, the druid does some other shit, and he, like, starts growing as, like, a pot plant in her house. Like, his feet become, like, roots, and he gets, like, bark over his mouth, can't really speak. He's just stuck there as, like, a potted plant.
And, like, on top of that, so, like, the family's going around town looking for food, but everywhere they go, it's just creepier and creepier.
Yeah, the kid's starting to get onto this, like, goblin thing. He notices
the town. The town of Nilbog, yeah, by the way, which is when he notices goblin, that.
And he's like, oh, Nilbog is goblin backwards. Oh, my God, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, and it's like they're offering you goblin milk, pretty much, and...
Yeah. Yeah, they want, because apparently it's so this town, because
it's like, it's free, take it.
Yeah, apparently this town is vegetarian. The kid goes to the general, well, not the kid, but the other people go to the store, try to get some food for the family. Like, oh, we're only vegetarians. Forgot about
that. Thank God you said that.
We don't have any real food, but we have like some green food. And we have this milk, and it says Nilbog milk. And it's like, here, it's free, take it back. And it's a hot ass day, and he's like, has to walk like more than a mile. Yeah, he just jogs
like mad far, and he's like, take milk.
And then he starts leaving, and the whole town folk come out, surround him, and like, we heard your friends are in the woods. Go through the woods to get him.
No, your one friend, like the friend you've been missing, is over at this house.
This creepy house in the woods.
Like, would you believe this?
Yeah,
and he just goes, okay.
With like a fresh like quart of milk.
And like super, like their faces the whole time are like super angry. Like,
yeah.
Like, why would you believe any of these people? Like, this is so weird.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this kid had already ingested a little bit.
On the way, he drank some.
Yeah, so he starts getting the green sweats and not feeling good. Which, yeah,
because you're running miles. The best thing to drink right now is some milk. It's
hot milk. Not refrigerated.
That'll do the body good.
On a summer day.
That'll do the body very good.
Yeah.
And, like, so he goes running in there, sees his buddy and tries to rescue him, and gets, like, knocked over onto a bed.
Yeah, the witch shows up and smacks him onto a bed.
Yeah, and then, like, you don't really see what happens to him, but you get the gist that he's going to be drinking some red, some green.
Yeah.
Because the second he wakes up, there's, like, a blender going for some reason. But he's trying to break his friend out, and he, like, breaks the shit off his face, and they make, like, this big thing, like, they're going to get out.
Well, the blender shit was, remember the lady, like, is mad at the planted friend, and she starts up a chainsaw.
Yeah, and then she cuts him down, yeah.
They don't quite show if she cuts him all the way down.
Well, they see him chuckle, and then he falls.
Yeah, it tickles him. He starts laughing. They don't show if he goes all the way over, but she, like, cuts something, and then the blender's going, so she might, like, draw some sap out of him and, like, blended that up with some bark. I don't know. How much she cut off of him.
They, apparently, in the documentary, they mentioned there's supposed to be some more story between that, and they just kind of went on a cutting room floor.
Oh my god.
Like, there was supposed to be more to
The rest of this shit should have went.
Exactly. So, like, that whole fucking arc, done. We didn't even need it. Like, that's there.
Well, that's thing. What happens to most of these kids, we don't actually see, like, the end result. We don't know what happens to the potted plant kid. We don't really know what happens to the kid that gets smacked on the bed.
Yeah, shit starts escalating. The kid somehow sneaks into a meeting of the goblins.
Yeah.
And sees their, like, hears them speaking their full plan. Yeah. But gets caught. And they're gonna, like, feed him some dirty-ass green shit, saying it's ice cream.
Yeah, he couldn't help fucking with his dad comes
and saves him, and his dad starts to believe him, but then instantly goes right back to not believing him.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And, like, so, like, the kid's already like, this has to end. They have to, like, figure out how to do it. The goblins start attacking the house.
Yeah. The goblins surround the house, and everybody knows.
And then, like,
Like, who can help us? Like, only Grandpa can help us.
So he somehow summons Grandpa.
Yeah.
This is before Grandpa gets initial banishment. He, like, summons his grandpa, I don't know how, and his grandpa's there.
Was that the point where they did the seance?
This is before the seance.
Oh, yeah, because that's after banished, yeah. All right.
So he comes out, and I guess the divine solution is a Molotov cocktail, because that's what Grandpa came back with.
Yeah, because the kid was already, like, fighting one of these goblins. Grandpa came to his aid. But then the goblin somehow, like, banished Grandpa. They're like, return because of the power of the stone.
Yeah.
Like, it's
like
a weird incantation.
Saying he sent him to hell and shit.
Yeah.
And then they throw... Did they throw it at him or something? They throw it at him and he catches it.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, that was anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then, like, after he gets banished, like, a lightning bolt from the heavens comes down and strikes the bottle. And then lights the goblin on fire. And the goblin dies. And the people blame them.
Yeah, it's like, what?
The goblins are like, oh, you took out one of us, and now blood for blood, blah. And all,
you were so, trying to take us out this whole time, motherfucker. Because
when he burned, he showed to be a goblin, so, like, they're like...
The town folk knew.
The town folk weren't even like, oh, my God, like, you could have kept the lie going.
Because they know about the goblins,
you could have kept the lie going, because, I mean, these people are dumb enough to believe anything.
What is that? We've never seen nothing
but
like that
just,
before.
Like, they just get super butthurt and blame the lightning on them.
You killed one of ours. Yeah.
And then, so they're like, they hold themselves up in the house, and the kid convinces them to have a seance to summon Grandpa back from hell.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, okay, a middle suburban family has that kind of occult power.
Yeah.
As long as you just have some candles.
Candles and some prayer. Hold some hands.
Anything's possible for God and Jesus.
Yeah.
So they somehow get him back, and they learn that there's some massive stone.
Yeah, the family actually...
It's part of Stonehenge or something.
Well, the family actually gets to see or hear a little bit of Grandpa. They're like, oh my God, the Grandpa's actually here. Like, this kid wasn't lying the whole time. The whole time they thought the kid was...
Shining.
The whole time they thought the kid was delusional, that he was just upset after losing his Grandpa and would, like, speak to him in his head. They didn't know it was actually
happening.
Hanging on
to the goblin story.
Yeah. So, like, oh my God, you're not insane. Like, Grandpa is fucking actually, like, helping out.
So they...
But then, like, remember Grandpa goes in the room, and then, like, the dad was like...
He
got all mad. He was hating him. He goes in the room to get him.
Never liked him.
He was, like, gonna go fight Grandpa.
And, like...
So weird.
They get finally to this place. They find the place. And before Grandpa leaves, he gives, like, the boy a backpack. When they find the stone, they're trying to shut it.
Yeah.
The goblins are coming. He's like, I'm going to get rid of the goblins. You just, like, I'm going to hold them off. You got to, like, take this backpack.
Yeah.
He's like, what's in it? You'll know when you open it. Like, you'll open it when you need to.
Yeah, he's like, the contents, you'll know when you need them.
And, like, so, like, he's waiting for the family to get there to help him. And, like, the goblins are bearing in. And he reaches in the backpack and pulls out a double-decker bologna sandwich, which looks more like an 8-time burger.
Like, yeah, it's at least like
it's
7
bigger
slabs.
Than the Octo Burger from like Burger King, and it's all like that poor kid had to eat so much bologna.
Yeah, but because these goblins and everybody is vegetarian, like watching this kid eat like processed meat like makes them sick to their stomachs, and they're like, "Oh my God, no!" It's like hurting them. Like,
yeah, it's almost like didn't
it's like pouring
like,
salt
didn't
on a snail.
Their,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm shriveling.
Yeah, they were like retching back in horror
as this kid gobbles this like massive bologna sandwich.
And then, like, throws it at them. And then pushes on the rock. And the grandpa says, only the power of good conceal the rock. Yeah. Now, the whole family touches the rock and just starts pushing. Now, keep in mind, this whole movie, none of the family has done anything to show they are good. They are comically awful.
Yeah, that is weird.
The girl is an abusive person.
Yeah.
The dad is an over-controlling freak. The mom is a spacious nut job.
Like psycho.
The only good person is the boy, and apparently the power of good summons lightning from the sky to explode the heads of goblins.
Yeah.
That is what the power of good does.
Praise be to the Lord.
That is how peace is attained in this world. Bologna sandwiches and lightning from God.
America. God
damn it. That's very America. And with
Chevy
all the goblins
on
dead, they're going to go home. And they go home, and the mother's eating an apple, and the boy goes upstairs and gets freaked out and comes downstairs, and a ball's thrown at him, and it's like, it says, yummy, mom is so good.
Yeah.
And, like, that's apparently the people that came to their house, oh, booby trap, there's more, and, like, the goblins weren't even dead.
Yeah.
Apparently you killed all the goblins, but the goblins aren't dead.
The goblins aren't even dead.
And they eat the mom in front of the boy, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Trolls 2.
A Lesson in Futility,
people. Not even Trolls 2, which makes more sense. It's this troll, movie, it's called Troll
this
2.
This movie, like, was a troll.
It's a weird thing.
The movie itself was the
troll. Maybe that's why it's called Troll.
Yeah.
Because it's not called Trolls. It's called Troll 2. Like, yeah, it's weird.
We got Troll the second time. That's what happened.
It's like, you don't have to watch this again? Let's do it.
All right.
I want to make some money. This is a weird movie, but it has an occult following, like... People love this movie. People are like, oh my god, best movie of my life,
like,
and my favorite thing
of this
ever.
Movie, man.
Yeah.
And like,
and this weird like guy that was the dad, he was just a random dentist in this small ass town.
Yeah, this is, so if you watch this movie, either I'd say after.
After the movie.
There's a movie called The Best Worst Film.
Yeah, it's a documentary on this film.
It's a documentary shot by the actor who played the son.
Years later. He was
a little
kid in the movie, now he's an adult.
Yeah, and he does a documentary on, like, the cult following, and he starts getting, like, the other actors involved and everything, and it's actually, like, a heartwarming film to the most part.
Yeah, shows the impact this movie had on all their lives.
But it just shows such a weird light into why the movie was such a clusterfuck.
Yeah, man, so weird.
Like, the weird scene with the girl dancing in front of the mirror in, like, the Amish house.
This little, like, teenage girl.
And
like,
it's like, she's not a dancer explicitly. She's not a cheerleader explicitly. She just exercises and dances. But, like, she's, like, dancing by herself. Like, she wants to be one of the Pepsi exercise dancers. And just, like,
she's like, I'll be on MTV
locking
one day. Like,
in front of this window. Like,
yeah.
And it goes on for, like, 3 minutes. And you're just sitting
there. It's, like, way too long. It's like, what is this?
Like, and it serves nothing.
Yeah.
A lot of this movie serves nothing.
Just filler on filler. It's weird because watching this documentary, you see that the actual director is this weird old Italian guy who, like, rarely speaks English. He's just yelling in Italian most of the time.
And he's always bragging about how many movies he's made.
And how great.
And how great he is. And, like, gets so mad when anyone shits on this movie. It's so fucking hilarious.
He's one of those weird guys.
He's got no skin. He's got no skin. Because, like, he's just, anything you say, he gets super butthurt.
Yeah. It's one of those weird guys where he takes, like, no criticism except for, like, positive reinforcement. Like, anyone tells him his movies are bad or, like, weird, he doesn't listen. But he talks, like, the cult following, people standing in line to see it, and they're like, oh, this movie's awesome. He's like, oh, I made awesome work, huh? And they're like, yeah. He's
like,
yeah, I knew
movie,
it.
Yeah? Like, he looks like you could smack his face into a pizza box.
He just wants to be patted all the time. Like, he wants to be praised. That's all.
That's all he wants.
He doesn't care.
My ego.
Whether the movie's good, bad, or otherwise, just tell him it's nice.
Yeah. Just be polite.
That's all this guy wants in life.
But he has, like, two speeds. I love you and I hate you. And he goes back and forth with those actors so many times. Like, at one of the points when they're having the actors are saying how they only got, like, partial scripts.
Yeah.
Which I believe to be true, because, I mean, most, that's also common for many movies. You only get what you need.
Well, yeah.
But they're acting, you know, a lot of these people had their careers tainted by it, so you can't be mad when, like, they're tied. Like, there's some actors that talk about, like, yeah, that was on my resume, and I can't get work for a while because that was on my resume.
Yeah, I think it was actually the daughter.
Yeah.
That daughter, she was talking about future, like, roles she had tried to get, and people, like, once it came down to that in her resume, they was like, nope. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, she could be as good as she wants at a good, like, audition, and they see that, like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
We can't have that on our movie.
Like, people had their lives tarnished, like, careers were ended by this movie indirectly.
Yeah.
And some people in this movie weren't even fucking actors to begin with. I mean, you look at the mom and dad who, like, were just two random people. Like, the mom you see nowadays, she looks even crazier than she did in the movie, and she looked imbalanced to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, and she's even saying in the movie when they're talking to her, like, is there anything we can... She didn't want to go out to, like, the whole convention. She's like, is there anything, like, anything we can do to, like, you know, help you out? She's like, I just want to be forgotten. Just, like, fade away. And, like, it's just, like, and she's, like, wearing, like, the crazy suburban middle-aged woman cat shirt. Like, dude, she looks like the caricature of a psycho woman you see at Walmart at, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she looks like. That's who she is. That's her identity. That's her personality. That wasn't a character. She is that person.
That is her, yeah.
Or she's like Heath Ledger in The Joker. Maybe she just couldn't shake the role. I don't know.
Right?
But
no, I think there was a point where she was just a crazy lady. Like, it wasn't so much acting. It was just, like, great casting. They found the right fucking fucked up lady.
Well, yeah, they didn't care if you were crazy or not, apparently, because the shopkeeper was someone that was in an insane asylum.
They literally found a crazy fucked up looking person.
And half the time, he didn't know what he was doing. He said he didn't know what he was doing.
He looked like a goblin.
It was just random work for him, and he would, like, talk about how all the horrible shit he wanted to do to the kids. Like,
because it wasn't even supposed to have that role initially. He was going to be one of the goblins, and then like they said they couldn't use him for that, and then they tried to find something. They're like, you could be a shopkeeper. And he has this weird ass crazy role where he comes out like this fucked up psycho, like, but yeah, apparently he was literally had like mental issues. Like, he was a crazy guy,
and they put him in the movie,
and this movie was like the light of his life.
Well,
like,
no, he didn't care about it done. Until he got cheered.
Yeah, but then he felt like this was the best thing he's ever done in his life. Like, this is life's, like, purpose and dream. Like,
well, he was just ready to get his manifesto going. That's
yeah. But also for this shitty movie to be your highlight of your whole life is like, please don't.
Hey, man, it was for that dentist, too. That dentist was a weird guy. Like,
dentist is
he was a lovable
guy.
Dude, but he was also, like...
He's creepily lovable, though.
Yeah.
He's constantly smiling and laughing.
He's like the kind of lovable where there's like a darkness behind all that. Like,
you could piss on this. You could take a shit on this man's shoe and he would just smile and laugh.
Like, oh, thank you.
Like, he's that kind of guy. You could not piss him off. He's always happy, always smiling, giggling. Like,
yeah, it was kind of scary.
Oh, hi, Susan. How
those
you doing
people,
today?
Those people scare me more than anybody.
Like,
being...
So you got some darkness in you somewhere.
I know. You got something. And you're extra suppressed
and
right
maybe
now.
You don't show it because it's extra dark.
I feel like you choke puppies at night.
Yeah.
Like.
Shit, you might choke them in the day and just not tell anyone.
Like, he's kind of like the guy from Vice Principals.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was so weird of it. Like, it's just such an ensemble, like, where they're also like these personalities are like larger than life.
Yeah.
Almost, and you see all this stuff come to together, and like, you get a little insight into what made the movie what it was, and it's like there was just a lot of weirdness, like this over eccentric ego of a director.
Yeah.
A bunch of people, half of them not being actors, people that are doing special effects that never did special effects before.
And you can tell.
Yeah, and you can see it.
Yeah.
And, like, long story short, it's just, like, from top to bottom, it's funny to watch, but it's just, like, a train wreck.
Yeah, like, all these little oddities and weirdnesses, like, it makes it, like, so you can hardly look away. I mean, you could look away if you wanted to, but it's like, all right, I'll finish watching this just to see, because it's so weird. But it's not really, like, good. It's kind of entertaining.
It's like someone telling such a bold-faced lie, you keep pretending, like, just to let them keep going.
Oh, what else are you going to come up with?
Like, really? What else does your dad work for?
Oh, really?
Your dad works for Nintendo?
Jessica Alba sucks your dick, and then what happened?
Yeah, like, what happened?
Oh, wow.
Tell me. I'm so interested.
Bill Gates just walked in, hand you 10 mil?
What?
Damn, bro. What happened next?
What?
Damn, man. That's a good night.
Yeah.
Like, knowing this is all bullshit.
Knowing it's all, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was... It's just such an odd movie. I can't, like, ever make sense of it.
Yeah.
It's, like, they elaborate on the wrong things. They spend time on scenes that make no sense. Oh, when the girl... When the druid gets her beauty back.
Oh, that's so weird.
And then she goes and seduces the last dude.
The last dude that's left
that's
in the
like
trailer.
That's, like, left in the trailer.
Dude's
he doesn't
trailer.
Die. You don't see if him die.
All these guys, you really see if they die. Like,
well,
I'm
like, it wasn't
like,
even green. It
no.
wasn't green. It was just a
it was corn popcorn.
Cob.
Yeah.
And then she's like, they're making out on a corn cob between their lips.
Yeah.
So they're not even making out.
Yeah.
But she's like grinding on him and stuff and all dressed all
making
like
all
a,
sexy time.
Like an 80s bimbo.
Bimbo milf.
And,
yeah.
And like it just turns the
this little teenage
it turns
dude.
The corn cob into popcorn and then he's buried in popcorn. Because
it gets so hot.
Yeah.
That's like the metaphor. Theme.
I know, that's
like,
the metaphor, but it's just
it
like...
It got so hot, like popcorn started coming. But then from this one corn cob, they filled the whole trailer with popcorn. Like, infinite amounts of popcorn came out of nowhere. It was a ridiculous
just,
scene.
And then he's just buried in popcorn. And then she leaves, and then she's ugly, and then she freaks out and runs
yeah,
away.
Yeah, she loses
so
her
really
beauty.
All she did was bang him and leave. Like,
yeah.
He didn't really get his comeuppance.
Yeah, the trolls didn't go to eat him after that we've seen. Like, he just literally sat in popcorn and chilled. Like, got some good stuff.
And then probably went home.
Fell asleep, ate some popcorn. Yeah, because this druid, like, works with the goblins. She's, like, talking with them. They're like, oh, one guy's still in the trailer because they drew guys out of this trailer one by one and kind of took care of them. But one guy stayed in, so he's like, I'll get him. He'll be mine. And takes, like, a young beauty potion and goes and seduces him.
Well, she, like, pleads to the god to, like, give her more power or something.
Yeah, that stone. That stone. The stone is from Stonehenge, apparently, and it has powers.
So that's some they kind get of, power it always from. Said Stonehenge had some kind of pagan connection, but whatever. But that's, like, the only decent, like, logic in the
logic connection. And lore, yeah.
But it's just such a shitty, weird movie, just done bad from top to bottom, and just...
yeah.
It was it weird. Is. And then, so, you know, we've been trudging around the garbage for a while, rooting around in filth with these horror movies. So we decided to come up for air and watch something decent.
Treated ourselves a bit.
And we decided to go see the Joker movie that came out, because being, of course, always first and foremost, like, lovers of, like, that kind of stuff.
First and foremost, mostly.
First and foremost, mostly.
We love that kind of shit.
Oh,
DC fans just wish they made better movies more often.
Yeah, I wish they made this more often. This was really amazing.
But they hit a home run on this one, I'd say.
Yeah, you throw enough shit against the wall, something will stick.
Not a giant fan of a lot of the previous movies, but this one, they did great.
Yeah, anybody who's liked some of the previous stuff, it's like you had to convince yourself of a couple things.
Yeah, a little bit. Because I do kind of like them, but still I can recognize that they're not as good as like what Marvel's been putting out. So Marvel has just mastered their craft right now, basically. Like, they're doing some great shit. Well, there's room to improve always, but they're doing great shit.
But, this movie, Joaquin Phoenix, get this man a friggin'...
like, an award. He needs to win an award for this, bro.
We're gonna try to talk about as much as we can without spoiling for a bit. And we're gonna warn you before we get into those turfs.
Yeah.
So we want you to know.
Yeah.
Because we want to talk about this movie. This movie deserves to be talked about because it is that good.
But dude, like, his commitment to this role, I heard he lost, like, close to 50 pounds. His body looked crazy.
Super gross, but like cool. His, and like his a, eyes. In, like a whoa kind of way. Like, you couldn't look away.
Yeah. But he, like, committed himself so hard, like, you could see it in his eyes even. Like, just the fucking, like, psychoticness at moments.
Yeah.
He played this role to a T. Like, he did great. Hats off to him.
And yeah, it takes the place of this guy going through like a shitty life and just kind of coming to terms with his psychosis and just how the world is. And it's hyperly interesting just to see the devolution of a person through society.
Yeah.
And just seeing, like, it ties into that whole theme of the Joker saying, you know, like, one bad day. All it takes is one bad day to ruin someone's, like, mental state.
And they kind of show that in this.
There's a lot of themes from the Joker that prevail.
You know, and it showed, like, how those one bad days and bad moments can stack up. Like, he'd be trying to do good and be feeling decent. He'd do something, and then something would happen against him. And he'd be trying to do good again, and something bad would happen. These bad days would stack up, and, like, bad things kept winding up happening, and pushed him over the edge eventually.
But it's also like his own world around him has things that play into that. Like, it's not just his fault. That's the thing, though. That's what I love about it, where it's like, that's how he always describes it. It's not always his fault.
Yeah.
He's just a product
of his environment, which we all are, you know?
So, like, there's so many theories that are out and about this, that where it's like, how much is real and how much isn't. Like, they do a very good job of subverting expectations.
Yeah.
Subverting what you're seeing, making you question, making you discuss. Like, yeah. This is a very good element of old film that is lost on today. And we got to see it in spades and done well.
Where it inspires and drives conversations and, like, dialogue about...
People are arguing because they don't know how it ended. They don't know what was real. They don't know what wasn't.
And I don't know that there's a clear answer on any of those things yet. There isn't.
That's the beauty, though. That's the thing. Like, that's what it can be, whatever you want it.
It's hard to make, like, such a lengthy piece of art and leave it so open-ended and in the air as to what it could really mean or what really even it was. That's a masterpiece in itself, just being able to have that.
It's a lost art. It's a lost art, and that's something I love in films that doesn't happen enough, and that's partially why I'm super happy that something like this exists, and it's tied into something I love.
Yeah, And it came out so well, like, because people do attempt these things and they just don't come out well sometimes. Yeah. But this fucking came out pretty well.
I was very cautious. I was very cautious when I first heard about it because I hear, oh, it's a Joker origin story. And I get to this point where it's the worst thing in my mind because the Joker doesn't have a concrete origin. So, like, to say that this is his origin, you're almost taking away the coolest element of the character for the sake of making a movie, and that really upset me.
Yeah, like, he doesn't really have an origin, never has. And
then I started to see who was being attached to the film, and I started getting interested. I was like, all right, maybe this might not be a dumpster fire, but DC movies have been doing what they're doing, so, like, I can't open my heart yet.
Yeah, like, I see they're trying,
and then I saw the trailers.
Yeah, that's what got me too. The trailer, seeing Joaquin Phoenix in this role,
just seeing how he moves, seeing like the body language and like the art, like just it was good at being colorful but still dark.
Yeah,
that's what interested me. That was like the intriguing part where it's like you don't have to be all doom and gloom. There could be some colors added to the scenery, to the filmography, but they can still not take away from the dark themes.
Yeah, because as much as this is a dark movie, and as much as he says all he has are negative thoughts, as you've seen in the trailer, there are, like, bright moments where he shows normalcy, where he shows love of regular life, and it just, you know, shows how even those bright moments can be tainted by the world and your environment, whether it's your choice or not.
Yeah, it's very, very crazy to see, like, inside somebody and, like, the things they want, the things they need.
Yeah, they did a real good job of getting inside his head. That's a hard thing to do also in film. Like, you really got to see some of his perspectives and struggles, things he was feeling, you know, nuanced feelings and different things, and then how they turned out in the real world.
And he did a lot of, like,
also in fantasy.
The craziest thing, I just, like, he did, they do the laugh, they incorporate that into who he is.
Yeah.
Like, it's more like a defect, like a pseudo-balbar affect, I think it's called.
Some shit like that. It's like an actual condition where they have this tick where they just laugh, and it's not because they think it's funny.
It's like Tourette's.
It could be related to like any other emotion. It could be
stress and
at any time. Yeah, stress, fear, anger, nervousness, even like happiness or love or embarrassment.
And like it has a theme to it all.
Yeah,
and it's just good because like they it definitely does the character a great justice. I'd be super excited to see him in other stuff like this. I think they do a great job of blending all the different elements of filmmaking in order to get the point across. So, like, and it's good because it should leave a little breadcrumb of doubt wherever it goes, especially if it's the Joker. So it's like, it feels like something the Joker would say or do. It feels like one of his, like, stories he would tell, one of something he would say is an origin.
Yeah,
but with that being said, if you haven't seen it, I'd say definitely take the time to go see it. You catch it on a matinee at least.
Oh, definitely, that's what we did. It was perfect. There was hardly anybody in there.
It's worth it.
But yeah, also, like, without really spoiling, like, as much as he would say, like, this could be like an origin, this is also a great representation of how he doesn't even really know what his actual origin is, and which is why he doesn't have one. And it really shows that in a couple different ways pretty neatly.
But it leaves it open to wonder, is it just his own psychosis? Or is any of this real?
Yeah, we don't even know.
So, you know, to see where the lines are drawn, it's insane. So, like, I mean, with that being said, we're about to get into spoiler territory. So, like, sound your alarms.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
But, I mean, like, to get started, the scenes that some of my favorite had to be one when he was getting joked with by the other clown, and he was like saying all the stupid shit, and he was laughing to like make him feel good.
Yeah.
And he starts like really cackling as he's walking out, but once he turns the corner, like the look on his face was so dark and like motherfucking.
Yeah.
Like it was really him just like, I can't stand him.
He was just laughing to make him feel good and also keep it from escalating.
Yeah, like such a work kind of like scenario. Yeah, it's like, just so well done.
Going through the motions, and then as soon as he turns the corner, he's like, motherfucker.
Yeah, like once I'm not in view.
And I was like, I gotta go see this fucking boss. Like he was walking down the hall to go see his boss. To get
fired. Like, No,
well, he didn't get. Yeah, he didn't get fired then. He got reprimanded.
Oh, he got reprimanded. That was for the sign, right?
Yeah, the fucking sign, which wasn't his fault.
Once again, is that true or not? That's another thing. It's like, well, was he actually robbed? Yeah, we don't know.
But like he even said, like, it's like, what would I? Why would I want the sign? Like, what? Chaos. And he never saw it in his apartment, so who knows? It could be true or not. But either way,
could have just broke it out of frustration.
Like the boss, like reprimands him pretty hardly for this. He tries to defend himself. Boss says, like, you know, why should I believe you? Anybody could be talking shit.
Yeah.
And he gets super frustrated. You see it in his eyes welling up. Then he's like taking his frustrations out in the alleyway and like collapses on the floor crying, kind of.
Yeah. I like how some people said that. Oh, there's a body in there. It's like, no, he was just kicking trash.
Yeah, which is just super frustrating, like as anybody would do.
He's just throwing a tantrum in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, just throwing a tantrum, just trying to get his frustrations out. And he doesn't know what to do. He feels like he's trying to do good, but everybody's holding him back or, you know, taking away from his progress. Or just
shitting on him every time they get a chance.
Basically, yeah, basically just shitting on him. No matter what he tries, he just keeps getting shit in the face. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even do anything wrong. Like, I didn't choose for this to happen.
Like, the way it's kind of painted, like, his only crime is existing.
At times, yeah. This changes later, but in the beginning, yes.
Like, even his own murder, it's like, it's not his fault. Like, he was just trying to, like, mind his own shit, and his fucking shit acted up, and then those people, like...
Yeah. Got he was in self-defense at first, and then he got a psychotic tick and then chased him down.
Well, that's exactly when he starts stopped taking his meds, because they cut the funding to his program.
Yeah, which is a fucked up, you know, thing they show in the movie. The moment that happens, like, when he's at his... counselor, and she's like, well, the city cut our funding, so this is the last time we're going to be meeting.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, but what about my meds? And she's like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, no answer. Like, sorry. That's what she says.
Yeah, she doesn't basically even, like, try to offer, like, any other channels to check or anything.
So, he goes from, they said he was taking up to 7 different medications, and he goes from taking that many to taking nothing. Yeah, like they show a couple different times during the movie him taking his medications, him going to fill his prescriptions, him like pouring medication on the counter and throwing it back. He also kind of chain smokes a lot in the movie. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. I definitely liked it. I want to see if they use him more, Joaquin Phoenix. I really hope so. But also, I don't see if it could be too healthy for him because he really like. Went to the extremes with his body and everything to really, like, fit this role so perfectly. I don't know if it's safe for him to do that, like, so many more times. He is a bit on the older side. Which is one thing that was kind of weird about the movie. Because he is on the older side. And they did show that at times. Like, when he had some stubble, you could see that there was gray in it. Because, as we're in spoiler alert territory... you do actually see Bruce Wayne in this movie. And Bruce Wayne is just a little kid, like maybe 8 years old or so. And this is like an old guy as Joker. You've seen them together in so many other things where they're at least a lot closer in age, maybe not the same age. So that's like a weird thing. Not sure what they intended with that.
Yeah,
if this is the actual Joker or maybe this was like an inspiration for the eventual Joker.
Yeah, it's a very open-ended thing, and that's one thing I like about it, because there's also a theory that the Joker's been multiple people.
Yeah, so which is why he couldn't have one origin if he is multiple people.
Yeah.
He is like an embodiment of a spirit, of a movement, of a feeling. Like
a movement that he inadvertently kind of stumbles into, kind of. It's just almost like Batman said, it's not what they wanted, it's what they needed.
Yeah.
Like what Gotham. Like
needed.
He was just the gas, like the match that ignited the gasoline that was like pouring all over the place.
Yeah, well, the one thing this movie showed perfectly, I believe, is like, you know, even though we have all these questions, so it could change that. But it was like what you said, like how this I've kind of lost my place. But what had you just said something about?
Well, it was open-ended and that it was probably inspired by somebody, but he was like the guy. He was just the match that lit the gasoline.
Yeah. Like, the movement, like he inadvertently became the head of this movement. This movie kind of shows that perfectly, like the things that he does and his acts, and then how the city reacts. Like he never really intended for this movement. He never sought to be a figurehead. He never sought...
He didn't want
to
be political.
To, like, yeah, motivate others. He was just living his own life, dealing with his small situations.
He was tired of his position. He almost thinks that these people are almost happy for him.
Yeah. Which kind of feels good to him, because no one's ever really been happy
for
him. Yeah,
it's a validation. Like, he's only getting the attention when he's doing these
things. He's like, I feel like people are starting to notice me.
Yeah.
He's like, this whole life, I never even knew if I really existed.
Yeah, he always questioned his own reality.
And the lady was hardly listening at the time, because she was thinking about her funding getting cut and her losing her job, which is understandable.
There could even be that, or that could be his own internal dialogue.
It could have been.
This could be the things he's afraid to
But, like, that's how I took it. Like, she was thinking about that in her head, like, fuck, I lost my job.
I wouldn't mind watching it again, because I want to see how much the movie changes once again. Like, observe that spot. Like,
yeah.
The normalcy to the craziness when he stops taking the meds.
Yeah. I'm lucky enough to have seen it twice, but I would like to even see it a third time.
Like, that's what I want to see. Like, because I know it's like, that's when it starts to go crazy. And, oh my God, one of my favorite fucked up scenes was after he kills, what was it, the fat clown that gave him the gun. And set him up.
What's his name, like Randolph or something? Like
some shit. But he just like stabs him in the neck with scissors and like fucks him up.
Goes nuts on him.
And he just kind of sitting there.
Bangs his head
to
the wall like 50 times.
Like blood on him in the white face paint. And he's just sitting there.
And that little dude just.
And the little person that's like Angelo.
Yeah, Angelo I think is his name.
And he comes walking by like he's like going to leave. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't do anything to Angelo. You were good to me. And he tries to walk by. And he's like, ah! And like scares him. And like
Angelo jumps,
and he can't open up the latch key lock,
like the chain on the door.
And he's
it's
like,
too high
he's
for
like,
him.
Father, can you help? Like,
yeah. He's like, please help me, get out of here.
He just wanted to get out, and he makes him so scared the entire time.
Yeah, like he opens the chain, starts opening the door, and then closes it again. The guy's like, fuck, I'm trying to get out of here.
Yeah, just like that scene was really crazy and fucked up, but funny as hell. Like, it was funny, but messed up. It's just a joke. It's the Joker.
There's like, a few, like, moments like that in this movie is on the darker side or has you on your edge, dramatic. It's like, you know, it's a psychological thriller.
And then
but at times,
laugh.
You just laugh. You're just like, that's, like, weird and funny. Like,
it almost feels
that.
Like being insane because
you
going
feel
through all
bad
these emotions.
For laughing, but it's like, I'm going to laugh. Like, this is funny.
Like, yeah. Or, like, the scene when he's watching the stand-up comedy and he's laughing at all the improper moments.
Yeah.
Like random, like either improper because of the context or improper because of the timing.
Just the timing. Everybody else is laughing like the opposite of him. Like
he's like
laughing
either
on
too
the
early or
basically.
Too late.
Like
he's never on time.
He's always like in between their laughs.
Yeah.
Like, they're laughing, pause, he laughs. Pause, they laugh, pause, he laughs.
Yeah.
Like. Just like the opposite of everyone else. It's kind of weird.
Oh my God. And it's hard to like just not gush about this movie just because everything, like the physical way he moves when he's like kind of dancing slow and like, or is it like it's like Tai Chi ish and like,
yeah, it's weird,
it's almost
like
it could be described as dancing, it could be described as like some form of physical Tourette's,
yeah,
it could be described as like, you know, like physical tics or even like Tai Chi. It's just weird motions and he does like this, like it's like to calm himself down or something,
yeah. He like moves so weird, like even from a further out kind of.
He's very lanky and like limmy when he's like moving, and he has the gun, and he's like got it over his head, and he's just doing like this Buffalo Bill shit. Like,
well, even thinking of, like a further out perspective, like how some people can kind of think that like a lot of mentally ill people could be like possessed. Like he kind of moves like he's possessed at times.
Yeah,
like, the way he changes sometimes seems almost like he's possessed. Like he's fucking just like out there crazy.
Yeah, man.
Like, something's controlling his body, and he's just all, like, weird, awkward, like, not normal fluid movements like a human would do.
Yeah, and the coup de grace was that fucking ending, man, when he's on the Jack Murray show. Frank Murray.
Yeah, fucking, what's
Robert
his name?
Robert De Niro. And he has that whole thing, that whole scene, I love that, how he delivers when he's, like, knock, knock, after, like, taking out his notebook, and he's flipping through it, and there's all those crazy scribblings,
like,
it
weird
starts
pictures.
Off, it always starts off neat and gets more big and disjointed as it goes down.
Bigger and disjointed
and
darker,
just,
like
random,
he's writing multiple times
random,
on
like,
it.
Random porn pictures and drawings.
Yeah,
like,
weird things in there. But yeah, it's like, look through this whole book for like a moment, like Murray even says about like, we have all day, like you're taking a while.
And I love how he just replies, he's just like, I want to get it right.
Yeah, because he's like, knock, knock, and he's like, yeah,
like,
look that
up.
He
almost seems annoyed at him when he says it, like it's like this petty, but like,
yeah,
let
like
me
knock,
do
knock.
It. Let me do
like,
it.
And he's like, you had to look through your book just for a knock, knock joke? He's like, I want to get it right.
Oh, so creepy. So creepy.
Yeah. And then just some stupid, like, inappropriate thing. Like, the first
comes
one
comes out and he kisses like, the woman. Like, he's dancing out there, like, all perfect.
And his knock-knock joke is just like a stupid thing. He's like, oh, sorry, ma'am. We got a report. Your son was just hit by a truck. He's dead. And they're like, that's not funny.
Yeah. But, like, to a fucked up person, it is. Like,
yeah.
And he all of a sudden just tells them, like, he killed all those bankers and, like, other people. He's like, I liked it. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, the host is going on because he thinks it's going to be good ratings. Another thing, exploiting someone who's fucking imbalanced.
Yeah, which is the whole reason he brought him on the show, which is to exploit him. Because yeah. He made fun of his clip on TV and they had a good response. So they wanted to bring him in to make fun of him in person.
Exactly.
Which he kind of knew. Like, he's not an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely. He's crazy.
He's not crazy. He's not stupid.
Yeah, he's pretty smart.
So, as that's going on, fucking, he just, that whole thing, like, knock, knock, like, what do you get when you mix a person with a mental instability with a society that doesn't give a shit about him? He's like, get what you deserve, and just, like, shot them right in the head.
Dude, that was nuts.
So insane, and it's such a cool Joker moment. It was
you
much like
feel
it
coming, but you still when it happens.
It's
like,
very
oh,
much
fuck.
Like it's very much like the Killing Joke, very akin to that. It's like a nice little adaptation of that.
Yeah,
while making it your own. This is everything done right. This is what DC needed.
Yeah,
but the thing is, can they continue to do that?
Well, I sure hope so.
I pray so, but I gotta see what's coming down the pike. I gotta see what's coming along because. I want to see this Joker fight with a Batman. I don't know how he's going to fight with a Batman.
Feels like there needs to be some time for that connection to occur. Like.
Yeah, because it's like, I almost like, part of me might want to like keep him like right here and don't fuck it up. Just let him stay there.
Yeah.
Let this be perfect and just let this, just.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I don't know.
But it's made too much money. It's made too much. It's got the best October opening of a superhero movie over Marvel or DC or anything.
Wow.
Best October opening ever.
So they're going to want to use him again. It's just going to be if they use him right
they're
or they're going to ruin it.
And,
or they
and
might
Joaquin
ruin it.
Joaquin has said this has kind of become a bit of a dream role for him. So we could see him coming back.
Yeah. Which I would like, but.
I don't think he'll go as skinny. I think it might be more of like a normal.
Hopefully. For his health-wise. You know, he's not a spring chicken.
Yeah, but this is a very interesting Joker. I wouldn't say better than Heath, but I would say better than Nicholson.
Yeah.
I'd say he's probably, like, for live action, he's number two.
Like, I wouldn't say better than Heath, but this is also just very different than Heath, so he could almost
different.
Be, like, on par, almost. Like, Heath is just more action-y,
and all the ending
which gets you, like, oh, I love it.
And the
like,
ending that makes you question everything when he's just in the white room with a psychologist that looks just like the one from his story.
Yeah. And from earlier in the
he's
movie.
He's like laughing and she's like, what's so funny? He's like, you don't get it. And then the next thing you know, he's like walking down the aisle and he's like bottom of his shoes covered in blood because there's blood trails everywhere behind him.
Yeah.
So he most likely killed that woman.
Again, you don't get to really see.
You don't
so
get
you don't
to
100%
see it.
Know,
so
like, that's the implementation.
And
that's
then he's just
implied.
Like dancing in the hallway and then he's like getting chased by the orderlies. It's just like, oh, it's like something Joker would totally do on, like, you know, being caught in, like, Arkham.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's implied, and you see him, like, leaving these red footprints, and he's just running back
like,
and forth.
And it's such a great, like, metaphor for, like, death following him in his wake wherever he's going to go.
Yeah, like, the more that he moves forward, the more blood is going to be left behind him, basically.
Pretty much. The longer he's alive, the more blood's going to go.
And he's still alive.
And he's enjoying every minute of it. Like
he's just
dancing.
Fucking,
this is a party for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's just riding this out because, like he said on the Murray show, like he says he has nothing left to lose. Like there's nothing that could be taken from him. So he's just living it, balls out. Like he's just going for it. Whatever he wants
to do, he's
doing it.
So this is, and I even like the face paint, even though the blue is not normal Joker stuff, I do like the incorporation
of
it. It
looks good.
It looks nice.
I didn't know how I was going to like it, but I was like, oh, I like that.
It's a good twist. And then how it, like, it also looks like it fades from a tear, like, one of them is, like, really long.
Also, I love, like, when he was in full, like, paint, like, he just didn't even look like Joaquin Phoenix. Like, he just looked so different that I liked that. He, like, changed, like.
when he's on the staircase and he's like
going down. Oh, yeah. Dude, he looks
I love
so
when
good.
He runs away from
he
the cops.
He looks like classic Joker.
I love when the cops get pinned and he takes the mask off and he like does a little dance in front of them.
Yeah.
I was like, that's such a Joker move. Like, oh, later on.
It's also a Joker move having the mask over the painted face. We've seen that before.
Yeah, he's done that. That's a Heath Ledger nod.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
And I also
smiled like when that happened. I was like, yeah.
But like the dancing is a very Joker thing that you haven't seen really incorporated way too much. Like, Heath kind of
in his
like kind of like motions, but
a little bit at times, but it could have been way more like we've seen it more like the 90s. You would see Joker like dancing around a bit.
Like Jack Nicholson did
just
a lot.
Like a little,
Jack
like,
Nicholson did it a lot more.
Yeah, which I liked. It was fun.
Because
he is like a fun guy.
But this seemed more like a like, oh, it was just crazy.
Psychotic.
It was so interesting and I couldn't tell anybody or recommend anybody this enough.
Yeah. You just gotta see it. Like, it's hard to explain.
Especially if you're a Batman fan and you're on the fence. Don't be on the fence anymore. Come see it. Please. Like, you're gonna like it.
Like, there's at times you can, like, feel his mental state. Like, it's even hard to explain, but you can kind of feel it, and it's just, like, crazy.
Like, all the ways. And it does, like, it's funny because it's, like, it paints the Waynes in, like, a negative light. It makes you question things. What's truth? What's not? Like...
Yeah,
did this actually happen to him? Did this not? Is he just making this whole story up? Is part of this real? Is part of it not real? Like, you're left with so many options.
I like the Waynes because that kind of plays into, like, modern day. Like, it's 2019. So much more information about everything is available to us. So we know that pretty much all big corporations are corrupt in a lot of different kind of ways.
Yeah.
So that goes to show that Thomas Wayne is such a big corporate guy. We always thought of him as a hero kind of guy.
Well, it's also
now
been explained
we know corporations
in comics
are pretty
as well,
much corrupt.
Not, and it, the law, the, you know, like, logic dictates if you made that kind of money, maybe you did something bad to get it.
Yeah. So now they kind of shine that light on him, which we haven't quite seen before.
Yeah.
But that's how kind of all corporations are looked at these days and, like, owners of them.
Pretty much. So it's, you have to draw your lines, what's right, what's wrong.
Yeah.
And it, like, and I like how, I you know, as much as everybody's going to complain about the inclusion of the crime alley scene.
It's, yeah, I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it.
Love
it.
I liked the fact that
it was somebody else.
Yeah,
and
if it was him,
I
would have been
like,
yeah.
But it was, like, indirectly spurred from.
I wouldn't like it if it was him. But.
Yeah, I wouldn't have liked it if he was a direct cause, but the fact that he was an indirect cause was very interesting.
Yeah, super interesting. And somebody, like, imitating his look.
So, it was a wild time to see that.
Yeah.
I also found it kind of ironic that it was, like, Mental Health Day. It said that on our phones when we were going into the theater. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, we went and viewed it together.
This is an odd timing.
Yeah, it was perfect. Also weird timing with this movie coming out with our country going through so much, like, gun violence and mental health issues. And then this comes out.
So,
it's like, kind of opens your eyes a little bit to it. Definitely needs to be more discussion on it. This could spur a lot of discussion on it. So that could be partial intent.
Certainly it could be. Or, like the Joker said, it's not political.
Or like other things with the Joker, it wasn't intent, but it's a good, you know,
it's not the intent, it's just where we are.
Things just happen because his actions
were like the good I'm not saying you're gonna do this, but your guys are here.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
That's the awesome thing with him, you know. Like, he doesn't have the intent, but then things happen and
he's an enabler.
Yeah. He's like he says, he's an agent of chaos, which chaos makes things happen.
Exactly.
And with chaos could be good or bad.
Yeah, it could, sir. It's just unpredictable. That's the nature of it.
Just random things are going to happen because I'm doing some random shit myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a wild time. I would say definitely go see it.
Yeah, I recommend it. I want to see it again.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. I would own this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Definitely see that. With our next installment of the Month of Horrible Horror, it's kind of up in the air right now.
Yeah, we got a couple options. We're looking
at.
We're gonna
probably leave this one a little bit more of a mystery to you guys.
Yeah.
It's a mystery to ourselves. No.
We'll have it in a few days for you though.
Yeah, we're gonna add another one this week just to make up for last. And we wanna catch a number of them.
Yeah, we got a lot of good people suggesting good things. A couple of our friends said some ones. I think your mom said a pretty good one.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's actually I was also remembering someone had suggested Hands of Manos.
Oh, yeah.
And what made me laugh was there is actually a scene from that was spoofed from The Hands of Manos in Troll 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're row your boat in the truck, and they're cutting the station wagon. It's the same kind of
premise. Yeah, that's crazy.
But it's just done shittier in Troll 2, like everything else.
But what a cool thing to see, like, an homage paid by another shitty movie from a previous like, shitty movie.
Like, someone's like letting you know.
Like, yeah, we're continuing your legend.
That's your inspiration and muse.
Your legend shall live on. Shitty movies forever.
But yeah, so from shitty movies to good movies, we're getting a little bit of both. We'll give you both sides of the spectrum.
It's been a good October. We look forward to giving you guys a lot more good content on some horrible horrors.
Yeah, and then we got, for November, we're going to be continuing with Karate Kid. Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Especially Cobra Kai. That's so fucking good.
So good.
And it's all free, so you guys should watch it now, so you can listen with no spoilers next month.
Yeah, they're putting those episodes free on YouTube without getting YouTube Red. No, they'll just get the free month of YouTube Red and binge like a good American.
Yeah, it's worth it. So binge-worthy. One of the best shows I've seen in a while.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed our reviews.
Didn't
think we were too full of shit.
And continue to have a good October. We'll have some more material for you soon.
And we will see you later this week. So until then, hope to see you on the other end of Hump Day.
Hump, hump.
Hump, hump.
We are the Knights of the Pound Table.
Good sir.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.